Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Hi, welcome back to Project Independence and You right here at WCWP.org. We have been speaking with Nassau County Comptroller Jack Schnurman, and our co-host, as always, is the wonderful Otto Loos. Otto, before break, you were bringing up a point, and why don't we continue with that?
Well, yeah, whatever you just said, Jack, I'm in complete agreement. And less office space and less requirements for additional malls or even retail stores could lead to people deciding, well, maybe they can start to build homes that are, or places to live in, that are more affordable for younger people to keep them on Long Island, and for seniors, frankly, to keep them from moving from Long Island.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. You know, I think that's a critical component for the health of our region. You know, going forward, we've seen previously a steady decline in the amount of young people staying in our region, and an increase also in the amount of young people who are living at home with their parents because they can't afford to live here, and making ends meet here has become increasingly challenged. A statistic that really blew my mind was that you ask yourself, what percentage of Long Island's young people between ages of 25 and 34 live at home with their parents? It used to be 14%. And nationally, that number is 16%. And so now, we looked at and to see what the number was here on Long Island right now. And the number is 44%.
Wow.
So 44% of young people are living with their parents here on Long Island compared to only 16% nationally. So that just shows us how expensive it is, how challenging it is, and what. And also that means that that is money that's not being put into the economy in a way that it otherwise could be if those people could afford to live on their own or in a place that they wanted to be in. And obviously that number is going to be even further challenged by the pandemic in a variety of ways due to rising unemployment and so on and so forth. So we see there were some numbers looking at our economy that gave us cause for concern before the pandemic that I think become even more of an issue like that now. And if we can do the
I have three grandchildren in that age category, 25 to 34. Two of them live at home. They're in the 44%. And the other one moved to Denver for the reason that he could do much better in Denver than he could here. And it's not cheap there either.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's all too common. And that's you hit the nail right on the head. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing when the time-honored tradition would be some component of young people, myself included in that, would go out and explore other regions, but then come back. But what we're seeing now is when they hit that 35 age range and they've saved up a little money, that's when a significant percentage of young people are deciding to move to those other regions, whether it be Denver or the Southeast or the Southwest, wherever the hot sort of place is at the moment because of lower cost of living and high amount of available jobs. And what we're seeing then is if someone leaves at 35 for that reason, they're making a life choice to plant some roots somewhere, and then they're not likely to come back. And that's a real threat to our region's economic sustainability going forward. And I'll just say on a personal level, as someone with I have two kids, ages 4 and 2, 2.5. I want my kids to grow up in a region and have great opportunities in this region and be able to stay. And I want them to be here selfishly because I want them to be close to me, to be honest. And I know a lot of folks feel the same way. So I, you know, for me, it's personal in doing everything I can to make sure that our region presents the opportunities and the amenities and the affordability to keep our young people here. Hopefully we'll have some good sports teams too, but that's, I guess, a discussion for another day. But yeah, as we look at those numbers, right, we've got to make sure that we are offering those amenities. And so it's places to live that people can afford and that people want to live. It's the availability of good jobs. It's transportation. Traffic, as we talked about before, really plays into it. When we were putting together our reports on this subject, and I spoke on college campuses, one of the things that I heard really often from young people was, I just can't stand the traffic.
Right.
Before the pandemic, I don't know that there was a real plan or that it seemed almost like too big of a problem. And as we talked about a few moments ago, one helpful opportunity coming out of the pandemic may be the potential for a long-term reduction in traffic due to more people working from home and spacing people out a little bit more. And hopefully some of those things can be good, healthy additions to our economy.
I believe that part of it is that there's a quality of life that wraps around the family. If you happen to be fortunate enough to have a good family, and when you break the family up, whether you like the idea or not, by somebody moving to Denver or whatever, it's not good. It's just, it kind of deteriorates the atmosphere, if you will. It would help if the family could stay in the same, like they used to years ago. You know, people would live near each other and it was a healthy atmosphere.
That's so true. So true.
You know, from like Project Independence, of course, we're specializing with senior services. So I'm curious, I mean, this is just something I'm throwing out there. That 44% number, I mean, it's shocking. But I'm curious as to the percentage of that number where children are moving in with their parents, that it's more helpful for the parents too, because it's not just unaffordable for young families, it's also getting more and more unaffordable for our seniors. A lot of our seniors want to retire in the homes that they bought. So I'd be interested because, you know, I disclosed here, my mother and I, my family, and we bought a house together. And, you know, it wasn't because either one of us wanted to move off of Long Island, but, you know, we were able to pool our money together and move to a place where, you know, I want to say better place, but move to where we wanted to be with my young children at the time. And, you know, so it kind of benefited both of us. So out of that 44%, because at the time when I would have been in that percentage, because I'm no longer in that age group, I'm older, I'm just curious as to the plan for that. You know, it's not always just the kids staying with their parents in the basement or, you know, in their old bedroom. It's a planned thing. So I think that, you know, it would be interesting to kind of like look into that number too.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And, you know, family is really the glue that holds all this together. We need our seniors to be able to stay here and to be with their families and be where they want to be and be able to afford living here and enjoy the different amenities of living here. I mean, North Hempstead, you know, I know was voted one of the top places for seniors to live in the country. It's a real testament to Supervisor Bosworth's leadership and the town board and the great work that has been done there over a period of years and programs like Project Independence. And I think that's a real model that we need to see throughout our region. And as we looked at those numbers, one of the things keeping the numbers of people leaving from being much worse is family. That people cited family as a major, major reason to stay here in the region. Now more than ever before, people are mobile and there's job options and living options in other regions. And so family is something that really keeps people bound together. And, you know, our argument is that as a region, we need to do our part, just as we were the number one suburb and we led, you know, led the league, so to speak, in you know, in previous decades and being, you know, in creating job opportunities and helping this country go to the moon and so many other things, we need to do everything we can to stay competitive, to make sure that we are always a place that people want and can afford to live with and stay with their families.
You know, down that road, and what Rebecca was talking about, and I know Christina, who's not supposed to be speaking on this show, is also living in a mother-daughter kind of environment. And I believe one of the things that is lacking, we have an attitude that you have to have a one-family house, and multi-family mother-daughter dwellings are like that. You almost like get persecuted if you put somebody else in your house. I think that we have to have a focus that says maybe we need to have some more multiple family homes that families can move into and afford to stay there. I don't know how you change that, but I lived in a two-family house, if you will, back in Queens in my youth. And, you know, it was the only reason my parents could afford to have a house. They
absolutely
rent from somebody else. And it could have been maybe as I got older, I could have lived there. You know, I think we have to change our outlook on that a little bit. And that could come from this COVID experience.
I couldn't agree more. I think we have to be willing to look at the facts anew and modernize and adapt. And sometimes what's new is old and what's old is new. And like you said, that's the way things used to work in a lot of ways. And people are saying, and clearly we're seeing it, you know, all over the place, that's what they want. You know, there's another example that it reminds me of is some period of years ago, it was considered taboo to do housing around train stations and what's called transit-oriented development. And then it turned out that it was actually very popular, and it lessened traffic, and it created, you know, the ability to help downtowns thrive, and it was something that young people really wanted. And so now Long Island, a little bit late to the party, but you know, doing our part to catch up, has been encouraging transit-oriented development, and that has the potential to really bear economic fruits for us and really help in this ability to, you know, to keep folks present. And that's a way of supporting our stores in our downtown communities that had been struggling with the advent of malls and ordering online and so to speak.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of space left over with some of these malls, unfortunately. And what gets done with those malls in the future could be a positive, depending on what direction it goes in.
Yeah, you know what, Otto? That's a great point. We're at our last break with NASA County Controller Jack Schnurman, and we will be back for our final segment.